We present Patricia Gallimore as Flora Post in
Cold Comfort Farm,
or A Good Woman's Influence by Stella Gibbons. Dramatized for radio by Elizabeth Proud, who is also impersonating the author. Episode 4, Flora's Rights Again. Flora has achieved Elphine's transformation and her engagement to Dick Hawk Monitor. Aunt Ada Doom has had a counting of the Star Catter family, in the course of which Amos announced his intention to leave the farm. Irk, disappointed of Elphine, rushed out into the night with Miriam, the hired girl. Aunt Ada made a terrible fuss. Stella Gibbons continues this distressingly frivolous story, assisted by Mr. John Westbrook, who will, as usual, read the more literary passages.
The day following Aunt Ada Doom's counting was a Sunday, so thank goodness everybody could stay in bed and get over the shocks of the night before. At least that is what most families would have done, but the Starkadders were not like most families. Life burned in them with a fiercer edge, and by 7 o'clock most of them were up and, to a certain extent, doing. Reuben, for instance, who now thought of himself as master of the farm, had much to do because of Amos's sudden departure.
A slow tide of satisfied earth-lust ebbed and flowed in his veins as he began his daily task of counting the chicken feathers.
Prue, Susan, Letty, Phoebe and Jane had been escorted back to Howling by Adam at 5:30 that morning, and he had returned in time to begin the milking. He was still bewildered by the fact of Elphine's betrothal.
Come rue, come snow, so may this man go. Hey, my little mash ticket, my cowdlin.
Adam saw, yet did not see, that Aimless had lost another hoof.
Come rue, come snow, so may this man go.
Old Ada Doom had been carried to her room at 6 o'clock that morning by Micah, Seth, Mark Dollar, Carraway and Harkaway. She sat alone, her fingers picking endlessly at the milk producer's weekly bulletin and cowkeeper's guide.
Powerless waves of fury coursed over her inert body.
No one had seen anything of Irk since he had gone galloping out into the night carrying Miriam, the hired girl. It was generally assumed that he had drowned her and then himself. Who cared anyway? As for Flora, she was still asleep at 3:30 in the afternoon.
It's closed! It's closed!
What?
There's two gentlemen to see you!
Oh. Who are they, Mrs. Beetle?
Well, one's that Mr. Mybug, miss.
Oh.
The other's a gentleman who says his name's Nick.
Oh, yes, of course. How delightful, dear Mr. Nick. I'll ask them both to wait till I come. I won't be long.
Right, yes.
Oh, and Mrs. Beetle.
Yeah?
Would you bring some tea, please?
Right you are, Miss Post.
Good afternoon. Hello, Mr. Mybug.
Laura.
My dear Earl, how delightful to see you again.
Well, well, sweetheart. How's the girl?
Tremendously well, thank you. Oh, good, here's our tea. Thank you so much, Mrs. Beetle.
Oh, goody, cake.
Mrs. Beetle,
yes.
Do you think you'd find Seth for me and tell him to come here to the parlour as soon as possible?
Oh, if you say so, miss.
Well, now, isn't this pleasant? Shall I pour out?
Mm.
Do help yourselves to cake.
Are you over here looking for English film star, Mr. Nick?
Yes, that's so. I want to find me another Clark Gable. Yeah, you wouldn't remember him, maybe.
Oh, but I have seen him at the Sunday Film Club repertory show.
Yeah? Well, I want a big husky stiff that smells of the great outdoors with a golden voice. I want passion. I want red blood. I don't want no sissies, see? Sissies give me a pain in the neck. And they're beginning to give the great American public a pain in the neck, too.
Do you know the work of Lymph?
Never heard of him.
There you are, Earl.
Thank you, sweetheart. You know, Mr. Mybug, we got a responsibility to the public.
Mm.
We got to give them what they want, yet it's got to be clean. Boy, that's difficult. I'll tell you what's difficult. I want a man who can give them what they want, yet give it them so it don't leave a nasty taste in their mouths. I want a new Gary Cooper, only more ritzy. Someone who could look good in a tuxedo and yet handle one of them old-world plows. Say, I've seen 4 plows since I've been over this trip.
Oh.
Well, who have I got? I got Tech Jones. Yeah, well, Tech's a good kid, but he's got no body urge. I got Peregrine Howard. He's a Britisher. No one can't say his name right, so he's no good. Then there's Slake Fountain. Yeah, I say there is, too. We keep a gang of hoodlums on their toes to sober him up every morning before he comes on the set.
Oh, really?
Well, what do I get out of it? Nothing. I gotta find somebody, that's all.
Have you ever seen Alexandre Fin?
I saw him in Pepin's last film, La Plume de ma Tante, in Paris last January. Very amusing stuff. They all wore glass clothes, you know, moved in time to a metronome.
Oh, yeah? A frog, huh? A frog is all under 5 feet. I want a big, husky fella. The kind of fella that would look good cuddling a kid. Is there another cup, sweetheart?
Of course.
Yeah, I seen that film in Paris, too. Give me a pain. I've met Pepin, too. The poor ex-cuckoo.
He's much admired by the younger men.
Oh, that helps a whole heap.
Oh, then your interest in the cinema, Mr. Nick, is entirely commercial. I mean, you think nothing of its aesthetic possibilities?
I got a responsibility. If your frog friend had to fill $15,000 worth of movie seats every day, he'd have to think of a better stunt than a lot of guys wearing glass pants.
Oh, Seth, there you are.
What the?
A silence fell. Seth met Mr. Neck's stare with an impudent stare of his own. A superb self-confidence radiated from him, as it does from any healthy animal. He looked exactly what he was, the local, sexually successful bounder.
That's it, sweetheart. That's got it. Hold it!
And Seth was so soaked in movie slang that he held it for another second or so of silence. Mr. Neck surveyed Seth rather as though Seth were his dinner. As indeed he was to be for some years to come.
Earl, this is my cousin, Seth Starkadder. He's very interested in the talkies. Mr. Neck is a producer, Seth.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Neck.
Well, well, how's the boy? So, you're a fan, huh? You and me must get acquainted, huh? Maybe you thought of going in for the game yourself.
Really? What?
No, I'm not kidding. I mean it. Would you like to go on the talkies? Wee-hoo!
More than anything else in the world.
Well, ain't that dandy? He wants to be a movie star, and I want to make him one. Well, you know about that. Usually it's just the other way around. Now, sweetheart, get your grip and we'll be off. We're catching the Atlantic Flyer at 8 tonight. Hey, say, though, what about your folks? What about Mama? Will she need squaring?
I'll tell you all about that, Earl. Seth, go and pack a bag with everything you need for the journey.
And when Seth had gone, Flora explained his circumstances to Mr. Neck.
So it's all right if Grandma don't give it the razz, huh?
Mm.
Well, we must go out quiet, that's all. Tell Grandma not to fuss. We'll send her $5,000 out of the first picture he makes. Oh, boy, I got him. Will you say his name is Seth?
Yes.
That's kind of sissy sort of name, but it'll do. It's kind of different. Keep him guessing. Oh, boy, wait till I get him a tuxedo. Oh, boy, that'll get him. It'd take more than anyone's grandma to stop me now.
Well, everything was bowling along swimmingly, and they were all standing round Mr. Neck's car in the farmyard saying goodbye, when they heard the ominous sound of a window being pushed up.
I saw something nasty in the woodshed!
Oh, mercy, Earl, hurry up and go!
What? Is that Grandma?
Mm.
But who's the platinum blonde in the back?
Yes, who is that?
Oh, come on, Seth, sweetheart, we gotta make the flyer.
Sure thing, Mr. Neck.
Seth, where are you going?
I saw something nasty in the woodshed, me baby, me darling. You must leave me. I shall go mad. I can't bear it.
Can it? Well, how's the girl?
Seth, you mustn't go. You can't leave your mother. This is spring onion harvest, too. 'Tis man's work. You mustn't go.
I saw something nasty in the woodshed.
Did it see you? Gee, ma'am, I know it's raw. I know it's tough, but that's life, girl. You're living now, sweetheart. All that woodshed line, that was years ago. Young Woodley stuff. Oh, I respect a grandmother's feelings, sweetheart, but honest, I just can't give him up. He'll send you $5,000 out of his first film.
Goodbye, Seth.
So long, fool.
Good luck.
I say, Flora, who is that? Looking out of the window.
Rennet, Starkadder.
Oh, what a marvelous face. She has a brittle hair-like quality. Don't you feel it?
She has that untamed look you see sometimes in newly born leverets. I wish Kropotkin could see her. He'd want to put her into plaster. I say, Rennet, will you come for a walk with me?
Why
not?
I'm an ass cousin Judith.
Anyone may do anything they please, so long as I am left alone with my sorrow.
Oh, well, I hope you have a pleasant walk, Mr. Maibug. And you will remember, won't you, that Rennet has had a pretty septic life of it on the whole. She probably needs a little gaiety and simplicity.
I quite understand. Flora?
Hmm?
We are friends, aren't we?
Certainly.
There's a quality in you. Remote somehow. Oddly unawakened. I should like to write a novel about you and call it Virginal.
Do, if it passes the time for you. And now I really must go and write some letters, I'm afraid. Oh, here comes Rennet for her walk. Goodbye.
Rennet.
The refreshing Mrs. Beetle was in the little green parlour, clearing away the tea things.
Miss Elphine sent you her best love, Miss Flora, and she's gone over to spend 6 weeks at Alshaker Hall. Mr. Dick came for her at lunchtime today in his motor. Nice looking boy, isn't he?
Very. Oh, so she's gone, has she? Oh, well, that's splendid. Now the Starcadders will have time to settle down and get over the engagement. Oh, where's Irk? Is it true he's drowned, Miriam?
It'd take more than him to drown her. Nah, he's as large as life and twice as natural down at mine, playing with the kids.
What, the jazz band? I mean, with Miriam's children?
Yeah, giving them rides on his back and pretending he's a water vole. Nasty things. Oh, you should have heard how agony created when I let on that our Miriam was going to marry one of them Starcadders. Oh, create! I thought he'd have to be picked off the ceiling.
So she really is going to marry him?
Oh, so I should hope, Miss Post. I don't say as there's been anything wrong between them yet, but there ain't going to be neither until they're safely married. Agony stands firm by that.
And what does old Mrs. Starkadder say to Irk marrying Miriam?
She said she saw something nasty, as usual. Well, if I'd had sixpence for all the nasty things I've seen since I've been working at the Cold Comfort, I could buy the place up. Not that I'd want to come to that.
I suppose you haven't any idea what she really did see.
I couldn't say, I'm sure. Well, I won't have to ever look to tell Agony when I get home.
So Agony likes a spot of gossip, does he?
If it ain't spiteful, he does. He always creates at me something awful when I finish telling him anything spiteful. Oh, well, let's be off now. I'm getting supper. Oh, there now. If I weren't forgetting, there's a postcard for you.
With a picture of Canterbury Cathedral. And the postmark's Canterbury too. Oh, it's from Amos.
Praise the Lord! This morning I preached the Lord's word to thousands in the marketplace. I'm going out now to hire one of they Ford vans. Tell Micah, if he wants to drive it, he must come with me out of charity. I mean, no wages, praise the Lord. Send my flannel shirts. Fond love to all. A Starkadder.
The 1st of May brought a burst of summer weather and a 3-star passage.
At the farm, life burgeoned and was quick. A thick, shameless cooing was laid down, stroke on stroke, through the warm air, from the throats of the wood pigeons, until the very atmosphere seemed covered with the rich patina of love. The strident yellow note of the cockerel shot up into the sunshine and wavered there, ending in a little feather tuft of notes. Big Business bellowed triumphantly in the great field. Daisies opened in sly lust to the sun rays and rain spears. And eft flies, locked in a blind embrace, spun radiantly through the glutinous light to their ordained death.
Mrs. Beetle appeared in a cotton dress. Flora wore green and a shady hat. Aunt Ada Doom kept her room.
Where is Amos? Where is Elphine? Where is Seth?
Mrs. Beetle says he's gone on them there talkies. What's a talkie? Is Mrs. Beetle mad? Are they all mad, all except me and Irk? A Starkadder saying he's going to marry the paid slut Miriam, and when I forbade him, he defied me and jingled 3 and 6 in his pocket.
He earned it by selling water vole skins to a furrier in Godmere.
To she, Robert Post's child, the wrong done to him has come back to roost. Curses like Rooks's comes home to rest in bosomses and barnses. She poured poison into the ears of my family and sent them out into the world, leaving me alone. They will all go. Judith, Micah, Ezra, Harkaway, Caraway, Luke, and Mark, and Adam Lamb's breath. Then, when they have all gone, I will be alone. At last. Alone. In the woodshed.
Reuben, I've had another postcard from Amos.
Oh, ah. What does the old devil have to say this time?
Listen.
Praise the Lord! I go to spread the Lord's word among the heathen Americans with the Rev. Elderberry Shiftglass of Chicago. Praise the Lord. Tell Reuben he can have the old place. Send clean socks. Love to all, except Micah. A Starkadder.
Do he thinks and means it, Cousin Flora?
Oh, yes, I'm sure he means it. It's a pity he says the old place instead of the farm. But if any question ever arises, we can always do a spot of forgery and write in the farm instead.
'Tis really mine, then. Reckon I'll go into Godmere and buy some fertilizers and new grinders and whatnot. Make a few improvements to Cold Comfort.
That's a splendid idea.
Will he come with me, Cousin Flora? Help me choose, like.
Well, I don't know anything about grinders, Reuben, but I'll try anything once.
Ah, you will. Right then, after us will have dinner, I mean lunch, at the Load of Beets.
That'll be lovely.
Apple tart for two.
Thank you.
Where do you get the money to buy all those lovely grinders, Reuben?
Stolen.
Who from?
Grandmother.
Oh, I see. What a sound scheme. How did you get hold of it? I mean, did you have to get it out of her stocking or something?
Nay, I falsified the chicken book, and when we sold a dozen eggs, I wrote down ourselves 2 eggs, see? I've been doing that for 5 years.
My dear, I think you're masterly, quite masterly. If you only keep on as you've begun, you'll make the farm too prosperous.
Aye. If the old devil don't change his mind and come back.
No, I'm sure he won't. He seems to be a main set on the idea. I wouldn't worry if I were you.
I don't suppose he would marry me, Cousin Flora.
Oh, Reuben, that is nice of you. But I'm afraid it would never do, you know. Think a moment. I'm not at all the kind of person to make a good wife for a farmer.
I like your pretty ways.
Really, he's worth whole sackfuls of the other male Starkadders. That's charming of you. I like yours too. But honestly, it wouldn't do. I think somebody like Mark Dollar's Nancy would be much nicer for you and more useful, too.
She's not 15 yet.
All the better. In 3 years, the farm will be doing really well and you'll have a really nice home to offer her.
Aye. Maybe I'd best have Mark Dollar's Nancy. My chickens have been keeping her dolls in feathers for their hats these 2 years. Reckon it's only right she should have the chickens, too, in the end. Best finish up your apple tart, Cousin Flora.
Now that Elphine was staying with the Hawk Monitors, Flora went over occasionally to tea at Haute Couture Hall. Mrs. Hawk Monitor seemed quite won over to Elphine.
She's a dear little thing, Miss Post. Rather brainy, but quite a nice little thing.
Yes. I must warn Elphine not to talk quite so much about Marie-Laurence and Purcell. The end has been achieved. There's no point in overdoing it.
So we'll fix the wedding for Midsummer Day, shall we? I think it should be in the church at Howling, don't you? Such a beauty. Now, about the reception, Miss Post.
Yes?
What do you think of having it at Cold Comfort? So much more convenient than coming all the way back here, don't you think?
Oh, I say. I rather doubt if that would do, you know. I mean, old Mrs. Starkadder's a bit of an invalid and whatnot. The noise might upset her.
She need not come down. A tray of cake can be taken up to her in her room. Yes, I think that would certainly be the best thing to do. Is there a large room at the farmhouse, Miss Post?
Several, but...
Splendid. Just the thing. I will write to old Mrs. Starkadder tonight.
Really? No sooner do I get one person comfortably fixed up than somebody else begins to tear up the turf about something and I have to begin all over again. Now there's a new horror on the horizon. I don't think I'll ever get the farm tidied up in my lifetime.
It's true, though, that matters are better since Reuben's taken up the position of owner of the farm.
Wages are paid regularly. Rooms are swept out occasionally.
And the male Starkadders, encouraged by the getaway of Seth, Elphine and Amos, have commanded Prue, Letty, Jane, Phoebe and Susan, to say nothing of Rennet, to come up and establish themselves in some of the empty rooms of the farmhouse.
All the same, a great deal remains to be done before one could really say that cold comfort was in a condition to satisfy the Abbé Fusmeg. There's the problem of Judith. There's old Adam. And there's the greatest problem of all, and the hardest, Aunt Ada Doom. I think I must tackle Judith next. She's been lying in her room with the window shut quite long enough. All she's done since the counting is veil each of her 200 photographs of Seth with a little black crepe curtain. Yes, I'll beard Judith straight away.
Cousin Judith, how are you today?
Judith's blank eyes burrowed through the fetid air between herself and her visitor. They were without content, hollow pools of meaninglessness. They were not eyes, but voids sunk between two jutting penthouses of bone and two bloodless hummocks of cheek. They suspended two raw rods of grief before their own immobility, like frozen fountains in a bright wintry air. And on these rods, the fluttering rags of a futile grief were hung.
Yes, well, would you care to come up to town with me tomorrow? I want to do some shopping, and I hope to lunch with a very charming Austrian, a Dr. Moodle from Vienna. Do come.
Ha! I am a dead woman.
Yes, well, I propose to catch the 10:30 train to town, so I'll expect you to be ready by 9 o'clock, shall I? I think you'll enjoy it when you get there. You mustn't carry on like this, you know. It depresses us all no end. I mean, all this lovely weather and whatnot. It's a pity to waste it.
I myself am a waste. I am a used husk, a rind, a skin. What use am I now Seth's gone?
Well, never mind that now. Just you make up your mind to be ready by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Flora's day with Judith in London was a complete success, despite some minor disadvantages. There were, for example, the sympathetic and interested inquiries of fellow travellers to be fobbed off, who were naturally intrigued by hearing Judith refer to herself at intervals as...
a used gourd and a rind.
But in the restaurant, Flora watched Dr. Moodle take command of the situation. It was one of Dr. Moodle's disagreeable duties as a state psychoanalyst to remove the affections of his patients from the embarrassing objects upon which they were concentrated and focus them instead upon himself. It was true that they didn't remain focused there for long. As soon as he could, he switched them on to something harmless like chess or gardening. And Judith very soon began to glow darkly and do the slumbering volcano act in Dr. Moodle's direction.
She will be all right now. I shall take her to the nursing home and let her talk to me. There she will stay for 6 months, perhaps. Then I send her abroad for a little holiday. I make her interested in old churches, I think.
Old churches, yes.
Yeah, old churches. There are so many in Europe. And it will take her the rest of her life to see them all. She has money, yeah?
Yeah, yes.
Good. You must have money in order to see all the old churches you want. Well, that is all right then. Do not distress yourself. She will be quite happy. All that energy, it is a pity. Yeah. It all turns in instead of out. Now I turn it out. And onto the old churches. Yeah. And now I go to pay the bill of this charming restaurant.
Judith certainly looks happier already. In fact, I've never seen her look so animated and normal.
I understand that you're going to stay with Dr. Moodle for a while, Cousin Judith.
He has asked me. He's very kind. There is a dark force in him. It beats like a black gong. I wonder you do not feel it.
Oh, well, we can't all strike lucky. But really, Judith, I do think it would be quite a sound scheme if you went. You need a holiday, you know, after all the fuss there's been at home lately. It'll do you no end of good, set you up and whatnot. Don't worry about the farm. Reuben will look after that for you and send you a fat piece out of the takings every month.
Amos.
The threads which bound her to her old life were snapping one by one, yet still held her in a frail tenure.
Oh, I wouldn't fuss about Amos. He's gone off to America with the Reverend Shiftglass by now, I shouldn't wonder. He'll let you know when he's coming back. Don't you bother. You enjoy yourself while you're young.
So that was all settled. It was with a feeling of satisfaction and with something strangely like affection that Flora caught her first glimpse of the farmhouse on her return that night to Cold Comfort. The farmhouse no longer looked
like a beast about to spring.
It never did to me.
What?
I'm not in the habit of thinking that things look exactly like other things which are as different from them in appearance as it's possible to be.
Oh, quite.
The farm used to look dirty and miserable and depressing.
Exactly. Now it looks dirty and miserable and depressing no longer. The yard is swept clean of straws and paper. Check curtains hang crisply at most of the windows. And someone...
Ezra, as a matter of fact. He has a secret yen for horticulture.
Ah, and Ezra has been digging and trimming up the garden, and there are already rows of beans in red flower.
I did all that with my little hatchet.
But what about the window immediately above the kitchen door?
Aunt Ada's room. Aunt Ada, the spirit of Cold Comfort, still undefeated.
Hello, Duck. Your supper's on the table.
Cold veal and salad. I'm off home now. Oh, and there's a blancmange pink.
Lovely. Thank you, Mrs. Beetle. Oh, Miss Judith won't be back tonight. She's going to stay in London for a while. Has everything been all right?
Oh, she took on something awful about Miss Judith going off this morning. Said she was all alone in the woodshed now and no mistake. She says she don't count Reuben. Well, she wouldn't, of course, him being the pick of the bunch. Still, she keeps her appetite. I will say that for her. 3 helpings of veal and 2 a suet roly for her dinner today. Can you beat it? Oh, well, this won't buy the baby a new frock. Good night, Miss Flora. I'll be at 8 sharp tomorrow.
Good night, Mrs. Beetle.
Oh, good evening, Reuben.
Good evening, Cousin Flora. Just lighting the lamp. Oh, there's a letter for you. Oh.
From my cousin Charles. Lovely. Oh, Judith is staying in town for a while with a friend of mine.
Ah, doing good.
Yes, that's what I thought. By the way, Reuben, you know Mrs. Hawk Monitor wants us to have Elphine's wedding reception here.
At Cold Comfort?
Yes. I think she wants to shift some of the botheration onto us. Anyway, I'm anxious that the farm shouldn't disgrace you and Elphine, so I shall need some money for food and decorations and so on.
Of course he will. And then, here's £30, Cousin Flora, and you do your damnedest.
Thank you.
Well, fancy us having a wedding at Cold Comfort.
Here, what about the old un?
Leave her to me. I'm thinking out a plan for coping with her. Well, thank you so much for this money, my lamb. I'll see about decorations and food at once.
So Flora began her preparations, and in the intervals of superintending a simply colossal spring cleaning of the farm, the first it had received for 100 years, she kept a weather eye upon the affair of Mr. Mybug and Rennet.
Of course, I'm well aware that marriage isn't the intellectual's long suit, Mr. Mybug, but I honestly think it would be best if you married Rennet.
Oh, so do I, Flora, so do I. I've asked her to marry me.
Really?
Yes. By God, you know D.H. Lawrence was right when he said that there must be a dumb, dark, dull, bitter belly tension between a man and a woman. And how else can this be achieved, save in the long monotony of marriage?
I see. And what about Rennet?
Accepted at once. She's perfectly happy choosing saucepans. We'll go up to town one weekend and be married at a register office.
And where will you live?
Fitzroy Square. I've been promised a studio with sink.
Splendid! And you must both have a share in Elphine's wedding reception.
As the evenings grew longer towards midsummer, Flora would sit alone in the little green parlour, reading the Higher Common Sense.
Chapter 6. Preparing the mind for the twin invasion by prudence and daring in dealing with substances not included in the outline.
Aunt Ada Doom is most emphatically one of the substances not included in the outline. The trouble is, prepared for the invasion as my mind might be, what I really need is a flash of inspiration. That's enough German and Latin for one evening. A little Mansfield Park will refresh my spirits. It was over, however, at last, and the evening set in with more composure to Fanny. Fanny!
And suddenly, the flash. In a few seconds, she had her plan clearly in her head. Calmly, she wrote the following telegram, which Mark Dollar's Nancy took down to the post office in Howling.
Hart Harris, Chancy Grove, Chiswick, Mall. Please send at once latest number Vogue, also prospectus Hotel Miramar, Paris, and very important photographs Fanny Ward and Gloria Swanson. Love, Flora.
The papers arrived by airmail the next day.
Is that Aunt Ada's lunch, Mrs. Beetle?
Yeah.
Good. Then I'll take it up to her.
Go on. You'll strain yourself. It weighs about half a hundred, right?
Never mind. I have some papers I wish to show her.
Oh.
Now then, if I haven't come down by 3 o'clock, Mrs. Beetle, yes, will you kindly bring up some lemonade?
Right.
At 4:30, you may bring up some tea and some of the currant cake Phoebe made last week.
Right, miss.
If I'm not down by 7 o'clock,
yeah,
please bring up a tray with supper for 2.
Oh.
And we'll have hot milk and biscuits at 10.
Right, Dad.
Now, goodbye, all of you. I beg you not to worry. All will be well.
Oh. And slowly, before the fascinated gaze of Mark Dollar's Nancy, Reuben, Mrs. Beetle, and Sue, Phoebe, Jane, and Letty, Flora began to mount the stairs which led to Aunt Ada's chamber.
I have brought your lunch, Aunt Ada. It is Flora.
That was the last that anyone heard or saw of Flora for nearly 9 hours. At 3 o'clock, at 4:30, and at 7 o'clock, Mrs. Beetle took up the refreshments as she had been instructed. At 8 o'clock, Mr. Mybug and Rennet joined the band of watchers, and they decided to have supper.
It's past 9 o'clock. I wonder if I shouldn't just run up with a few sandwiches and some cocoa.
Nay. Cousin Flora told he to take up hot milk at 10, and hot milk at 10 he shall take. I won't have Cousin Flora's instructions disobeyed.
All right, I only wondered.
What do you suppose Flora can be saying to the old incubus?
Who?
Aunt Ada.
I couldn't make out a single word when I collected the empty trays. But they're talking away. 19 to the dozen, that's for certain.
Oh, I wonder how Seth be faring.
Aye, he'll be in Hollywood by this, shouldn't wonder. That and he'll run into the old devil there.
Hey, Mars, never.
Oh, is our earth getting wed? All day fair, do we think?
What I wonder is what Miss Judith can be up to in London.
Aye, and why so?
And who, where?
Here, look at the time. I forgot the milk. I'll forget my own name next. I'll eat it up at once.
Listen. Cousin Flora.
Hello. You're all here, then. Hello, Mr. Mybug. Surely it's time you were in bed. Can I have that milk now, please, Mrs. Beetle?
Right,
I'll drink it down here. You needn't take any up to Aunt Ada. I've put her to bed. She's asleep.
We was feared for his soul. Done him many times we near come up to fetch you down again.
Oh, too nice of you, Letty. It's quite all right, really. Everything's settled now. You needn't worry, Reuben. We can go right ahead with the food and decorations for the wedding. In fact, everything ought to be rather good in one way and another.
Here's your milk, Doug.
Cousin Flora, no one but he could have done it. I suppose he wouldn't tell us how to done.
Yeah.
Well, it's a long story, you know. We talked for hours. Can't possibly tell you all we said. It'd take all night. You'll see on the wedding day. You wait. It'll be a surprise. A lovely surprise. I can't tell you now. It'll spoil things. You just wait and see. It'll be simply lovely. surprise.
There now, she's asleep.
Oh. Like a tired child. Just like a little tired child.
Paws off, Pompey!
Yes.
Wake up now, Miss Flora. You'll sleep better in your bed.
Oh. So sorry. Good night, then.
Good night, Cousin Flora. T'were a good day for cold comfort when first he came here.
My dear soul, don't name it. It's been the most enormous diversion to me. Just you wait until the wedding day, though. That is going to be fun, if you like.
Midsummer day
dawned, with a thick grey haze in the air and a heavy dew on the meadows and trees. It would be a day of heat, brilliant, blue and radiant.
Adam Lansbreth had been early astir, making wreaths of wallflowers with which to garland the horns of feckless, pointless, graceless and aimless. It was not until he actually came to affix the decorations that he observed that none of the cows had any horns left and was forced to fasten the wreaths round their necks and tails instead. He also decided to give them cowbells.
Come Roo, come Snokes, O maidens must go.
I'll just take up her breakfast. She'll have to have it cold today. There's half an ham and a jar of pickled onions. I won't be a chip.
Oh, I've just been up to see Aunt Ada. She doesn't want anything for breakfast except a Hell's Angel.
Eh?
Here, give me an egg. I'll mix it for her.
Yeah.
Your egg. 2 ounces of brandy.
No.
A teaspoonful of cream. And a few ice chips. Shake it up. There. You run along upstairs with that, Mrs. Beetle.
Oh, it'd take more than a mess like that to keep my stomach from rumbling before 1 o'clock.
What's got into Grandma's head now, Saul?
Why, is the old one gone off again? Will she come down and upset everything after all, do you think, Cousin Flora?
Not on your sweet life. Everything will be all right. Remember I told you there was going to be a surprise? Well, it's just beginning.
Ooh.
Oh, by the way, Reuben, we shall need Aunt Ada's chair at the head of the table. The one she sits on when she comes downstairs.
Right, I'll fetch it.
And now I think I'll go and see how she's getting on.
Aunt Ada, come in, my dear.
Oh, did he see that soul? Ah, there's something strange in the air today, lovey. Oh, and to think on it, El Rennet is no more a maid. Last night as ever was, Un came to say goodbye to me before Un took the 12:30 train from Godmere with Un's husband to be.
Oh, wasn't weeping, poor soul.
No, but Un said Un would feel safer when once the words was said and Un's man could not get away. Well, it's done now, Lord Lovey. And they'll be here for the breakfast, man and wife, as ever was.
A hush now fell upon the cool, flower-garlanded, sweet-smelling farm. In a dozen bedrooms, the Starkadders struggled with their wedding garments. Flora was soon dressed and went down into the kitchen to reassure herself that everything was as it should be. She had arranged 2 kinds of food for the 2 kinds of guests she was expecting. For the Starkadders, there were syllabubs, ice pudding, caviar sandwiches, crab patties, trifle and champagne. For the county, there was cider, cold home-cured ham, cheese, homemade bread and salads made from local fruit.
Oh, delicious.
May, don't be so.
Oh, they won't miss just one cherry, Rennet. That's the one, I think.
Mr. Mybug! Oh,
dear lady, there you are.
Yes, and so are you, I see. There is plenty for everybody, Mr. Mybug. If you're hungry, Mrs. Beetle will cut you some bread and butter. How are you, Mrs. Mybug?
The church seemed full of Starkadders. They were all there, and all by my agency, enjoying themselves, having a nice time, and having it in an ordinary human manner. Here is Elfie, pale and serious and starry-eyed as a bride should be, leaning on the arm of Reuben. Here is Dick Hawk Monitor, his pleasant red face betraying none of the nervousness he must feel, accompanied by Rafe Penthartigan, his best man. Here is Mrs. Hawk Monitor, looking vague in grey, and the healthy Joan Hawk Monitor in pink organdy.
A deplorable choice, quite deplorable.
Good luck, my dear.
Now, then, there's really no need to make such a noise. Susan, Letty, Phoebe, and you too, Prue and Jane. Several people have asked me if you're in pain or have had bad news. Oh, dear, what's the matter with Rennet?
Of course, Rennet. This is all the sheerest barbarism. I mean, that business of throwing the shoe. See?
Mr. Myberg, we're all going up to the farm now. Of course, you're coming too.
Of course, dear lady, of course. Oh, all right, then, you shall have another wedding.
A proper one!
Yes, a proper one, if only you'll stop crying.
Look, someone's put a rope of wallflowers around Big Business's neck.
Oh, what a charming idea. So original. And the cows, I see, are also wreathed. Quite an idea.
Awfully bright, yes.
A wedding present for him, Maidie.
Oh.
A gift for my own wild marsh ticket. There. A marsh ticket's nest with four pink eggs in them.
Oh, Adam, how sweet of you.
Awfully jolly, what?
Put it in thy bosom. It'll make he bear four children. And when he do go a bed tonight...
Come along, Adam. The champagne will be getting warm. Oh. Elphine will certainly do as you suggest when she's had something to eat.
So here you are. Welcome to Cold Comfort.
Does Aunt Ada? Does Aunt Ada Doom?
Dear me, how delightful. So unexpected. How do you do, Miss Doom? Or should I say Mrs. Starkabber? So confusing.
Oh, grandmother.
Oh. Awfully jolly, what?
Tis the old and herself.
Well, you could knock me down with a warming pan. Miracles will never cease.
Aye, fruit and flower by their growth shall know them. I should live to see this day.
Well, good people! All this is very flattering. But if I'm to spend any time with my granddaughter and the rest of you, we must hurry up and begin the wedding breakfast. I leave for Paris by air in less than an hour.
Paris?
Mr. Kent Harton, could you help me pass around the crab patties, please? I think they all need to keep their strength up, don't you?
Oh, jolly good, Miss Prest. Sound scheme. It's for a shampoo, too, eh?
Yes. Soon, everybody was enjoying themselves tremendously. The shattering surprise of Aunt Ada's appearance, dressed as she was from head to foot in the smartest flying kit of black leather, gave everybody something to talk about and enhanced the delicious flavours of the food. It would, of course, have been even more stimulating to the appetite if she had appeared in her usual clothes and with her usual manner and tried to stop the wedding and had been defied by the Starkadders in a body. That would have been worth seeing, if you like. However, one can't have everything, and what there was good. Apparently, Aunt Ada had thoroughly realized what a nasty time she had had for 20 years and had now made up her mind to have a nice one.
My dear Flora, I really can't thank you enough for telling me about Miss Fanny Ward and Miss Gloria Swanson. And what a nice time they have. Looking so much younger than their age, too. And for introducing me to the luxuries of the Hotel Miramar.
Well, there's really no reason why a handsome, sensible old lady such as you, Aunt Ada, shouldn't have a very pleasant life.
Sure. And I will remember, my dear, to preserve my personality as you advise. You shall not find me plucking me eyebrows, nor dieting, nor doting on a boy of 25. I am very grateful to you, my Pippet.
Aunt Ada, there's something you can do for me, if you will. What was the wrong that Amos did to my father, Robert Post? And what are my rights of which Judith used to speak? I feel I can't let you go off on your tour without asking you.
Yes, my dear, it's right that you should know. Move closer, for I don't wish the others to hear.
Aunt Ada spoke for several minutes. An observer would not have noticed much change in Flora's attentive face.
And did the goat die?
Grandmother, Adam wants to come to live at Haute Couture Hall with Dick and me and look after our cows. May he? We should so like him to. He knows all about cows, you know.
By all means, my dear. But who will care for feckless, graceless, pointless and aimless if he deserts them?
Nay, Never say that, Mrs. Stark, Adamant. I take them with me, all four on them. There's room for us all at Houchikarol.
It sounds like the finale of the first act in a musical comedy. Well, well, you may take them if you want to.
Oh, blessy, no blessy, Mrs. Stark, Adamant. I mun tell them to make ready for the journey. I shall go this very afternoon. Feckless, aimless, graceless, pointless.
Dash it, this thing must be straightened out. Did the goat die, Aunt Ada? And what about my rights?
Mrs. Starkadder, I'm so sorry to hear that you're going away at once. You must come to dinner the very moment you return from your tour of the world. Oh, so exciting.
I should be delighted, Mrs. Hawk Monitor.
Aunt Ada?
There's an aeroplane falling into Ticklepenny's field.
Flora couldn't put her question a third time. It would have been ill-bred. I must just relinquish my rights, whatever they might be. And I suppose I shall never know whether the goat died or not. Everybody streamed out across the fields to see Aunt Ada off.
Three cheers for Aunt Ada! Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Now, let's go back and drink a good deal more, I suppose. Dickon the Sposer will be taking off in half an hour, you know. It appeared his time for 3:30.
Goodness, it's nothing but people going off in aeroplanes.
Yeah.
I'd best go and help Elfin change her dress. The second aeroplane took off from the big field opposite the farm.
Be unto my lily flower!
I shouldn't open any more champagne, Mrs. Beetle, if I were you.
Well, only in case of illness, Miss Pouse.
Well, now will you come back and drink a good deal more?
In a moment. I see Mrs. Hawk Monitor and Joan are leaving. I must just say goodbye.
Yeah.
I do so wish they'd all go home. And I shall never know what it was that Aunt Ada saw in the woodshed. How I wish I'd asked her about that as well. Goodbye, Mrs. Hawk Monitor.
Dear Miss Bruce, thank you so much for a perfect and lovely time.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, yes, indeed. Now you must come and dine with us next week. I'll send the car for you.
Thank you,
but oh, and you must come to us, dear lady, in Fitzroy Square.
We shall be honoured, Miss Post, Miriam and me, if you was to come to tea at Byways.
I should be delighted, Irk. Where's Byways?
In Howling. 'Tis a villa what I bought. We're moving in next week.
You bought it?
Aye. Out of me savings from the water vole trade.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you all so much. I promise to visit you all. Oh. Goodbye. Joy. Goodbye.
Bye.
Flora was conscious that for the last hour her spirits had been agitated and melancholy. What can be the matter with me?
Well, if you get very sick of wherever it is, phone me and I will come and rescue you in my plane.
Miss Post, come for a run in the old bouncer.
It would be very kind of you if you'd take me down into the village, Mr. Pentartic, and I want a telephone.
Delighted.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Charles. Is that you? This is Flora. Look here, are you doing anything tonight?
Not if you want me.
Well, could you be an absolute angel and come and fetch me away from the farm tonight in Speedcot the Second? We've had a wedding here today and I've tidied everything up and I really am rather tired. I would like to be fetched, if you could.
I'm coming. What time may I be there? Is there a big field near the house?
Oh, yes, just outside. Can you be here by 8, do you think? It's nearly 5 o'clock now.
Of course, I'll be there at 8.
Charles?
Yes?
Charles, I mean, it isn't putting you out or anything. By 6 o'clock, the kitchen was tidy and empty. All signs of the feast had been cleared away. All was cool, quiet, blessedly peaceful. There go Adam and the cows on their way to Haute Couture Hall. They've still got their wedding garlands on. And Adam has his little mop round his neck.
Come, ooh, come snow, show maiden and
I better write a note for Reuben to explain my departure and leave a pound for Mrs. Beetle.
She placed the note open on the table where everybody could read it, and not even a Starkadder could be alarmed by it or mysterious about it. Then she slipped on her coat, picked up her bag of needments, and sauntered out into the cool evening.
Charles!
Laura!
Charles!
Laura!
It was purest happiness to see him. It was like meeting again a dear friend whom one has loved for long years and missed in silence.
Charles!
Oh, Laura, this is forever, isn't it?
Forever.
Look here, I think we ought to go home, you know, darling.
Oh, Charles, you do smell nice. Is it stuff you put on your hair or what? Oh, it's nice to think what years we've got to find out things like that. Quite 50 years, I should think, wouldn't you, Charles?
I hope so. By the way, I don't put stuff on my hair. Oh, Flora, I'm glad I was born.
Oh, Charles, you have got heavenly teeth.
Don't fuss. Now, are you ready, my dearest darling? Because I am, and so's the speed cop. We'll be home in half an hour. Oh, Flora, I'm so unbearably happy. I can't believe it's true. It is true, isn't it? Say, I love you.
Oh, Charles, I do. Oh. I love you so much. And look at the heavenly sky. Not a single cloud in it. Tomorrow will be a beautiful day.
In Flora's Rights Again, the final episode of Cold Comfort Farm, Flora Post was played by Patricia Gallimore, Stella Gibbons by Elizabeth Proud, the Abbé Force-Maigre, Malcolm Hayes, and Mr. John Westbrook by John Westbrook. The Starkadder family, great-aunt Ada Doom was played by Fabia Drake, Judith, Margaret Robertson, Reuben, Trevor Martin, Seth, Sean Probert, Amos, John Hollis, Micah, Alexander John, Elphine, Jane Knowles, Harkaway, David Timpson, Irk, Christopher Scott, Rennett, Christine Absalom, Letty, Pauline Letts, Susan, Diana Bishop, and Adam Lambsbreath by Cyril Shams. Mrs. Beetle was played by Miriam Margulies, and Mr. Mybug, Michael Spice. Earl P. Neck of Hollywood, USA was played by Nigel Anthony, Dr. Myrtle, John Rye, Mrs. Hawk Monitor, Margot Boyd, Charles Fairford, David McAllister, Richard Hawk Monitor, Stephen Garlick, and Rafe Penthartigan by Nigel Anthony. Wedding guests were played by the cast and the animals by themselves. The music was composed by Terence Albright and played by him and Richard Apley, cello. The intelligent and sensitive listener will have realized that Miss Gibbons's book has been specially adapted with the author's approval for the wireless medium by Elizabeth Proud. Facilities for this, including the services of Messrs. Novis, Sturgeon, Pearson, and Miss Lewis, have been provided by the British Broadcasting Corporation, who must also accept the responsibility for the production by Ian Cotter.
Further adventures of the Starkadders, in which Irk and Mrs. Beetle's jazz band win the Eurovision Song Contest with a single entitled My Little Water Vole, Adam wins Mastermind, subject little-known phrases and sayings, Big Business wins Smithfield Show, Viper wins the Derby, and Feckless wins the Pools. You don't believe all this, do you? Stranger things have and may yet happen. So book your rooms now for the conference at Cold Comfort Farm.